Miss Judy and I have been here now for 11 years in May. And there you go again. See, Brother Sutton's new at this. And I can't even use that for an excuse because I'm supposed to use this when we're meeting here too. But anyway, we'll put this on. We've been here for 11 years now and thought we were going to be here for about 90 days. And God had changed our mind and we've enjoyed our time here. And we're excited about what God wants to do. Now, we're not exactly sure what He's going to do right now, but we're excited about it because we've learned that we can trust Him, and He'll do that which is right. We can depend upon that. And so we encourage you, if you don't have a church home, turn in, find out what we believe. Go to our website, bbcmd.org. Go there, listen to the messages, listen to our Sunday school lessons and so forth. Find out what we believe. I think you'll come around with the idea that maybe those folk really do believe the Bible, and maybe they really do believe you ought to live the Bible if you say you believe the Bible. And so I want to encourage you with that. And then come and see us. Come and see us. Call us. We'll come visit you if you have a need. And that's another thing. Miss Judy even indicated that this morning. She said, please don't forget to tell people that if there's anything we can do during these trying times to help you, we can come and do some type of manual work for you, or we can give you a ride, or we can pick something up for you at the grocery store. Unless they completely disallow us to drive, we would still have the opportunity to do that. So we want to help you. We want to be a service for you. We want to do in His stead what Jesus would do for you if He were here. And so there are some limits to what Jesus would do. Sometimes people get upset because Jesus wouldn't do what they want Him to do. But He's not a robot. Jesus is going to honor His Father, and He's going to help His people. We want to be a servant to the Lord Jesus. Well, as we think about the Word of God and the message for today, I want to mention two things in starting. First off, let me say that there's only two kinds of people listening or watching today as we take care of our service in this new technological age, in this new technological way. And so as I think about that, I think the only two kinds of people that are in the world are saved people and lost people. And so I ask myself this morning, in this time, what would the Lord want saved people? What would He want them to know? Now, as I think of the term saved people, we need to understand that that means people whose sin has been forgiven. That means people who are on their way to heaven. That means people who have been born again. When we talk about saved people, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you don't know when you had that experience, then my friend, you're not saved. We're not talking this morning about baptism. You say, well, I thought you were a Baptist. I'm a Baptist from the top of my balding head to the bottom of my big feet. Every drop of blood in me is Baptist blood. A friend of mine used to say that if he thought there was one drop of blood in him wasn't Baptist, he'd wait till it was going through his finger, prick his finger, and get that rascal out of there. I am a Baptist, but you don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist. May I remind you that Judas was a Baptist also. And for 2,000 years, Judas has been weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth, even though he was a Baptist. So we're not talking about being a Baptist or being baptized. We're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It happened in a moment of time. It happened in a particular place. And if it really happened, you know when it happened. And you could tell someone else how it happened that you came to Christ. You might not be able to find the Bible verses, but you could get the gist of it out there. For an example, a man knocked on my door and asked me if I was a Christian. I said, who knows? There's so many different ideas about what a Christian is. Who knows? He said, well, do you believe God knows? And I kind of thought maybe he was being a smart aleck, but he wasn't. He held up the Bible. He said, do you believe the Bible? And my mama had taught me to believe the Bible, though she hadn't taught me much of the Bible. She still taught me to respect it and believe it. And so this man sat down and took the Bible. Within about 20 minutes, he had shown me that I was a sinner. And of course, he didn't have to spend long there. I agreed pretty readily with that. That I was on my road to hell, and I thought if there's a righteous God in heaven, I am. And that Jesus loved me, and if there was anything that I would have doubted that He told me that night, that's it. that Jesus loved me just like I was. You see, I had been taught you have to be good and be good and be good. And if you're good enough, what Jesus did will kind of jerk you the rest of the way into heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he told me that Christ died for me because he loved me. And then fourthly, he said, if I would invite Jesus into my heart and life and turn from my wickedness and give my sin to him, that he'd give his righteousness to me. And you know, it worked. It worked. And I was born again. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. Now, was I perfect? Oh, no, no, no. I've been working on it now since 1966, and I'm still not perfect. My wife could tell you that. The people I pastor could tell you that. My neighbors could probably tell you that. My children, I'm sure, could tell you that. My driving record could probably tell you that. But the fact is, I'm different. And the things that I used to like to do, I don't like to do them anymore. I do sometimes, but I despise those things. And the things I never would do, like go to church. I find myself in church all the time. I had no time for the Bible. I read the Bible every day. I never would have talked to someone about religion. They say, you know, there's two things you're never supposed to talk about. That's politics and religion. People talk about politics all the time, and they talk about religion. But I don't talk about religion. I talk about salvation. Religion says, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is, there's nothing I can do to be saved. What good thing can I do that I might have eternal life? The young man asked the Lord Jesus, and Jesus gave him the answer, you can't do anything. Religion will not save you. It takes the Lord Jesus to do that. And so I'm talking about to people today who are saved. You go back in your mind to a time, to a place when you believed the Word of God and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life and you were born again. Now, since that time, I hope you followed the Lord in proper believer's baptism. But believer's baptism doesn't wash away any sin, none whatsoever. You need to be born again. Now, here's some verses that we need to understand when we're going through troubles. Here's one. Abraham was doing some bargaining with the Lord. The Lord had sent some angels into Sodom and Gomorrah with a message, he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, Abraham had family there, so Abraham began to talk to the Lord. And he started out with 50. If we can find 50 righteous people there, will you destroy the world, destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord said, no, if you can find 50, and you can find 40, if you can find 30, and down they went. Finally, it came up, Lord, if we can just find 10. And this is what he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And listen, that's either yes or no. In your heart, in your mind, when you're going through tough times, you need to ask yourself the question, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer is, he will. Now, he might do something different than what we would expect him to do. He might do something different than what we wished he would do, but he will do absolutely right. And we need to believe that with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, all of our mind, and all of our strength. That's called loving the Lord. And when we do, we trust him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11 says this. God speaking says this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so I tell you today on the authority of God's word, that God is not a cosmic joy killer. God is not somebody who wants to just rain on your parade all the time. God's not the one who wants to slip the banana in front of your feet when you're walking close to a steep flight of stairs or something. God is not that way. God has good things for you. If you know the Lord Jesus, you need to trust him. You need to understand that all things will work together for good if you love the Lord Jesus. And then here's some good advice for us. From the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not with part of your heart, not with your Sunday morning heart, and not with your when you're with your mother-in-law heart, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. I wonder how many ways we don't acknowledge the Lord. And he stands there waiting for us to boast on him, waiting for us to brag on him, waiting for us to simply tell somebody about him, acknowledging him. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall He shall direct thy paths. Not he might, not he probably will, but the Bible says if we'll trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe that. I believe that's an answer to a need in the hearts of the life of people who are saved and they're going through tumultuous times at this time in their life. John chapter 14 and verse number 27, the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Here the Bible says Jesus has this special peace he wants to give to us. In the book of Philippians chapter number 4, the Bible describes this peace as peace that passes all understanding. The peace that God has for his people, even in these types of situations. The peace that he gave the Apostle Paul when the Apostle Paul was beaten and scourged and thrown into jail and put into stocks and mocked and laughed at and ridiculed. The peace that he had so that at midnight he could look over to Silas and say, "Let's sing a song. Let's pray. Let's talk to these prisoners about the Lord Jesus." That's the kind of peace that we need. And the Bible says that that peace passes all understanding. And the Bible says that'll keep our hearts. And the Bible says that'll keep our minds. Why? Because we're tough? No. But because he simply is in charge of us. The Bible says that peace will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And so let me recommend the peace of God to you. And then in John chapter 13 and verse number 35, the Bible says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you have love one to another." I believe the Bible is telling us that in these difficult times, when we don't know exactly what's going to happen next, maybe we don't know where our next paycheck is coming from, maybe we don't know what's going to happen in our tax situation, maybe we don't know what's going on in our life, in our health, in the health of a loved one or something, maybe we're struggling in our family relationships or relationships with other people. I believe this with all my heart. If we'll lose ourselves in the service of other people, God will do a work in our heart that won't be done by any medicine, by any drug, by any shot you can get, any pill you can take, any counselor you can talk to except the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. We don't need to go around banging on our chest telling people we're saved. The Bible says by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by how we act and how we carry on and what we do and what we don't do. And so for God's people, for saved people, people on their way to heaven, I'd suggest that there's plenty for us to do that'll put our minds to rest, put our hearts to rest, will glorify God and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second kind of people that are here are lost people that are listening to us and watching us today. Lost people. That means they're not saved. That means they're not on their way to heaven. It doesn't mean they can't be on their way to heaven. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible said that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so I'm talking to people who are lost, but you don't have to stay that way. The Bible says that these people have only been born one time. And the Bible says to go to heaven, we need to be born again. Somebody who's a little smarter than me said, if you're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you only die once. And I think that's a good idea. Jesus said in John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in verse 7, he says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Jesus was speaking to a very religious person at that time. He was a Pharisee. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He was one who was supposed to know, and yet he didn't know. But he was speaking to a very religious person who was not saved, who had not been at that time born again. And though he was religious, he was still on his road to hell. And many are the people today. They've been in the baptismal tank, and they've given monies to offerings and so forth, and they've helped little old ladies across the street, and I don't say that lightly. They've bought Girl Scout cookies, and I do say that lightly, maybe. They've done all these kinds of good works and so forth, but they're still on the road to hell because there's something missing in their life, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you must be born again. To a religious person, he said that. And it was an imperative. It wasn't a suggestion. Jesus said it as an imperative. You must be born again. Now, when we stop and ask ourselves that question, what is it that we have to be born again? Nicodemus misunderstood. He says, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, art thou a teacher in Israel and know not these things? No. Clear back in the Garden of Eden, 6,000 years ago, God made a promise to Adam and Eve. God promised them, you can have anything you want of all the trees of the field, but there's of the garden, but there's one tree you can't have, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that fruit, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, the devil came on the scene. Why Eve was separated from Adam at that time, they were in different parts of the garden, I assume, and Adam unable to watch over his wife and protect her, and the devil came and tempted her, and she took of the fruit, and she ate the fruit. She gave to her husband, and her husband ate of the fruit, and the mocker of the Bible and the liberal and the Bible denier and the Christ denier says, and he didn't die, but he did die. That very day, in the day thou eatest thereof, God said, thou shalt surely die. Well, you remember when clear back in verse number 1, 2, and 3, along in there in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image. Well, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we're going to be in His image, we have to be body, soul, and spirit. And that's how God made man. And the day that man ate of that fruit, the spirit died. And when the spirit died, it's impossible for man who is only a body and a soul to have eternal life. And so, from that time until this time and past, man was born with a living body, a living soul, and a dead spirit. And when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was talking about that dead spirit. That dead spirit has to be quickened. It has to be touched by the Holy Spirit of God. It has to be made alive. And once it's made alive, you have eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. But you need to understand the importance of that birth, because without that birth, if your spirit's dead, when you die physically, you go to hell. If your spirit is alive, when you die physically, you go to heaven. It's just that simple. And the only thing, listen, no water in the baptistry, no communion you could take, no good work you could do would ever cause that spirit to live again. The only thing that can do that is when the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life, and that living spirit touches your dead spirit and resurrects it, gives it life. And the only way the Holy Spirit's going to do that is when you come to the Lord Jesus, confess to Him that you're a sinner, ask Him to come into your heart and save you from the trip to hell that you're already on, ask Him to be your Redeemer. And when you do that, you're born again, you're saved, and on your way to heaven. But that spirit has to live. You must be born again. It's not done by baptism. It's not done by good works. Someone says, well, you know, I believe in keeping the Ten Commandments. I'm always challenged when someone says that. And I usually say, what are they? Yes, that's exactly what follows, silence. Because most people who think they go to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments have no idea what more than about three or four of them are. No, the Bible says this about good works. The Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The Bible simply says that if we could get to heaven anyway by something we do, anyway, I mean, if we could give our body to be burned, if we could dedicate our organs for medical science or for someone else's use after we're finished with them, when we die, we give those out. That's a good work. Certainly that's a valuable work. That's a wonderful work. That's a marvelous work in some cases. But that's not going to get you to heaven. If we could do anything that would get us to heaven, Jesus was foolish to come down here and take upon Himself the form of a human being and die the most excruciating death that man has devised, that of crucifixion. Why did He do that? Why did He do that? The Bible says simply that the law, all the commandments, all 600 plus of the law, All those commandments, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do this, don't do that, don't do this, do this, do this. All that was for one purpose. It was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so we look at the law, we say, man, I messed up already. Even if I could fulfill the law from here the rest of my life, I still have from here back. What about that? That bill has to be paid too. And that cannot be paid by any work that we've done. The Bible says that it's no good trying to get to heaven by our works, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now somebody says, well, I haven't missed very far. I've been pretty good. And I know some people who, in a worldly fashion, in looking at them through human eyes, they have been good. And to say that they're wicked and rotten and undone is a difficult thing. But you don't have to be a baby murderer to go to hell. All you have to be is not born again. Listen to what the Bible says. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, that's 600 and some commandments, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. There's not a person with road walking sense that would tell anybody else that had road walking sense that they've kept the whole law and not violated it in one place. We've all violated the law. We've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible testifies that Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. And so today, in this tumultuous time, in this time when people are wondering what's next and what's next and where do I go and what can I do, if you're not saved, you can go somewhere and shut the door, get by yourself. Talk to God about your sin, about how sick you are of it, about how you know that your sin is taking you to hell, how you believe that Jesus died that death that he died, that he was buried and 72 hours later he got up victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And he ever lives today to make intercession for us. And you ask that resurrected Savior, you ask that living Savior to come into your heart and be your Savior. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I love fellowship. Baptist fellowship best around something to eat. But I never in my life fellowship like I fellowship when I'm really in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll sup with him. That's fellowship. I'll sup with him and he with me. And so Jesus and I today are on our way to heaven, not because I'm good, because I've been good and bad both, but because I have Jesus Christ in my heart and life. Today I can look back to a place, to an address. When I'm back in Fort Collins, Colorado, I like to drive by the place where I met the Lord Jesus. It just does me good. They've remodeled the house. They made a pop-top house out of it. It doesn't look anything like it, but it still has sweet memories for me because that's the place that Jesus changed my life. Now, I've been a sorry Christian many times since I got saved. But I've never been sorry that I'm a Christian. Oh, today that you might give your heart to Christ. And then let me give you this one last challenge. If Jesus is worth trusting to miss hell, isn't he worth serving so that other folk will miss hell too? Isn't he worth saving so others can go to the heaven that you're going to go to? The situation that we're in today, I believe, could bring the Lord Jesus at any time. The theological term is imminent. Someone asked a Bible student one time, said, what's imminent mean? And he said, I don't have any idea. And a professor said, that means any minute Jesus could come. If you die without Jesus, if Jesus comes before you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God will never bother you again, and you'll die lost. And God is voting against that. The angels in heaven are voting against that. Bethel Baptist Church is voting against that. We want to see you saved. And if you're saved, we want to see God be able to use your life for His honor and for His glory. God bless you much. I hope we'll see you Wednesday at 7 o'clock. God bless you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. My Father, I thank you today that you love us. I thank you, Father, for the Word of God and the privilege to preach it. And Lord, I thank you for the technology that allows us to send the gospel out many, many places. Lord, to places we could never go. Lord, the gospel may have gone today by this technology to places over in Africa or Australia or to Austria, whom we love so much. Lord, the technology is wonderful. But if men hear and don't respond, there's a great, great need there. And so I pray, dear Lord, that you speak to their hearts and bring them to a place of real surrender to you, whether they're saved or lost. Lord, that we might just worship you and serve you and do what we're supposed to do for your honor, for your glory. While you're thinking, while some here are praying, I'm going to ask if maybe Miss Carrie Jo would just play a verse or two of invitation, something to make you think for a little bit before we end our service today. God bless you. We'll